On today's show, VW gives us a peek at the all-new Jetta. Automakers are really starting to embrace aerodynamics, and how Aston Martin struggled to develop an SUV. All that and more coming right up on Autoline Daily. This is Autoline Daily, the show for enthusiasts of the automotive industry. Spain wants cleaner cars on its roads, so it's going to subsidize the purchase of alternatively powered cars. Words Auto reports the government has budgeted about $60 million for the program. It's open to individuals or businesses who will receive anywhere from $600 to $21,000 for buying an electric, plug-in hybrid, fuel cell, LPG, LNG, or CNG-powered car. Spain also set aside another $17 million to build up its EV charging infrastructure. Speaking of Europe, automakers had another strong month in November. Car sales in the region hit 1.26 million units, which is a 6% gain compared to last year. Among the top five countries, Germany, France, Italy, and Spain saw sales outpace the overall region, while sales in the UK dropped 11%. Through November, car makers have sold 14.5 million vehicles in Europe, which is a 4% improvement from last year. And it shows the European market is recovering nicely. The Jetta is by far and away VW's best-selling vehicle, and there's a new one on the way for 2019. These sketches show a much more sporty silhouette and a bolder interpretation of the automaker's grille. The styling seems more closely related to the new Arteon, which will replace the CC. And inside, the interior is more modern and shapely. Look for the all-new Jetta at the Detroit Auto Show. There are two schools of thought for how connected cars will communicate with each other. One technology is called Dedicated Short-Range Communication, or DSRC. It's proven and ready to go. Cadillac is already using it for V2V. The other technology is 5G LTE. It's still under development, but can offer faster communication. The U.S. is leaning towards using DSRC, while China is in favor of 5G. So the supplier Continental is working on both technologies. It just completed a test with Huawei in Shanghai, China, using 5G for vehicle-to-everything communication that saw an average time of 11 milliseconds for direct communication between vehicles with almost no failed sent messages. It's also testing a smart intersection in Ohio that uses sensors to map out the environment and then send alerts to connected vehicles via DSRC. Continental will show its smart intersection technology at next year's CES show. As long as you have to design a car, why not design it to slice through the air more efficiently? That's coming up next.
Autoline Daily is brought to you by Bridgestone Tires, your journey, our passion. Dow Automotive Systems, advanced materials that deliver better results. And by Lear, a global leader in automotive seating and electrical systems.
Even the earliest automotive designers were aware of the benefits of aerodynamics. This is the Jamais Content, an electric race car with a torpedo body from Belgium that was the first car to go over 100 kilometers an hour in 1899. Today, automakers are embracing aerodynamics like never before. We've shown you things like active grille shutters and front spoilers, as well as this idea from Magna that has a flap that deploys from the inside of the tailgate on a pickup truck. Here's another trick that Magna has up its sleeve. It's a little flap that deploys from a belly pan under the engine compartment. It's amazing that something this simple can have a noticeable effect on reducing drag. And if it hits something in the road, it won't get torn off the truck. Look for it to come into production in a pickup truck next year. And Jaguar really wants everyone to appreciate how it spent hundreds of hours in the wind tunnel perfecting the aerodynamics of the F-Pace. So it created a film called Black Light, in which it dropped paint and water droplets on the surface of the SUV and then cranked up giant fans, which blew the paint rearwards to highlight what the airflow looks like going over the body. Jaguar says it wanted to simultaneously show off the design and engineering that went into the F-Pace. Last week, we showed you how the Porsche Mission E and the new Tesla Roadster are using vents on the front end for air curtains and turning them into design statements. But this isn't relegated to expensive cars. We recently test drove the Kia Rio and were pleased to see that it too has incorporated air curtains into the front end of the car. Air goes into these vents on the front end, and then the air is directed through small slits into the front wheel well openings. This helps reduce turbulence from the wheels, helps maintain attached flow on the side of the car, which reduces drag and improves fuel efficiency. Everyone is getting into crossovers, even Aston Martin, but the company really struggled on how to do one, and that is coming up next.
Bridgestone engineers are helping Larry Fitzgerald go long.
Bridgestone's Dual Lorenzo Plus is engineered to go 80,000 miles.
I love anything that goes long. Long hair, long passes, long dogs.
We're going to do this for 80,000 miles? Or...
long hugs, long weekends.
Aston Martin is best known for its sports cars, but with the market shifting towards crossovers and SUVs, Aston has to follow its customers. It will introduce a crossover in a couple of years, and on Autoline After Hours, Simon Spruill, the chief marketing officer at Aston, talked about the difficulty of creating a crossover for a brand that's only built passenger cars.
The tough part about the SUV market for all of the luxury brands, and you've seen Bentley go with the Bentayga, Lamborghini recently with the Urus, Rolls-Royce are coming with theirs, you know, we'll come in last and best dressed with the Aston Martin, with the DBX. So the inherent challenge there for particularly brands that are based off a sporting lineage, so probably more of a challenge for Bentley, Lamborghini and us, is how you keep your DNA, but you translate that into a product that inherently is a higher ride height, a higher H point, it's bigger, needs to be much more functional. So that's a challenge. But, you know, having seen what Marek did in only a few months when Andy gave him the challenge, I mean, when Andy came in October of 14, I think his second day on the job was to say to Marek, I need an SUV concept for Geneva. You know, that's like 4 months away. So that's like, you know, making a wedding cake in 2 hours or something. I mean, it's crazy. So, but Marek pulled off, I think, something of just beautiful proportions. And that's then helped us understand the design language for an Aston Martin, how that translates to an SUV. I mean, if you look at an Aston, what you're seeing is the two-thirds-third proportion. And you've got an A-pillar that goes very gently down into the centre of the wheel line. So we're not cab forward, we're always sort of sat back. So how you retain classic Aston Martin proportions while doing an SUV is obviously a big challenge for the design guys.
Yeah, I mean, you look at like the Bentayga, it doesn't have that long dash to axle ratio that, exactly. And it looks a little weird to me.
I wouldn't say anything about our competitors, but
Dave,
what I would say is we're focused on making the most beautiful SUV in the world, and it needs to instantly look like an Aston Martin and have the design edge. The advantage that we have is that we're not encumbered with a carryover platform. So the architecture that underpins DB11 is our architecture. That architecture then gets adapted for Vantage, that gets adapted for Vanquish, and then leads into
so it's nothing from Daimler?
No, nothing at all.
You can watch that entire discussion right now on our website, autoline.tv, or just look for it on our YouTube channel. But that's it for today. Thank you for making Autoline Daily a part of your day.